AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
Come on, shut up.
Hello, welcome to episode 30, season 12 of the Fighting Cock Podcast, joined by Cow About As Hard As Fudge Rudge and the monk sniffer, Mark Nesbitt. I wrote that this afternoon.
Well done.
How are you, Cow?
Good.
All right?
That is good.
Yeah, man, very good.
We went to see the boxing the weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, man, we did. It was really good. Wembley Arena, Anthony Yard against Artur Beterbiev for the World Light Heavyweight title. We had great seats and we had a good time. And then Alex, bless him, he talked me into staying behind and staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the Royal Rumble with him at Box Park Wembley at a big screening, which was... That was a bit of me. There was, and you saw him, Flav, there was a guy walking around dressed up like Hollywood Hulk Hogan with feather boa and fake moustache and all of that. There was guys with belts there. I felt gutted I left my belts at home. Yeah, it was well good. It was a proper bit of me. It was well nerdy. Crowd was hot. Nah, it was a good night.
What's talking about the boxing, not that geek fest that you went to, but...
Sorry.
You were going, do you want to come? And I was like,
that.
Yeah, I might. I might come, and just disappeared at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you did.
Definitely not going to fucking watch wrestling. These kids were, or men, actually grown men, they were staying till 4 in the 5 in the morning to watch WrestleMania. Or Royal Rumble, sorry. I was corrected the other day about what WrestleMania is and what Royal Rumble is. But, you know, as long as you had a good time. Before we get into the football, lots. So we've got to talk about Pedro Porro. We're talking about Brian Hill. We're talking about the FA Cup and our march towards the final. And what Chelsea are up to and how that impacts Tottenham. And we've got questions as well. But before that, the Tottenham Food Bank collection is happening this weekend when we play Manchester City between 1:30 and 3:30. Look for a food bank van that is opposite the Beaver Town. Do a good thing. On your way, just pick up some soup, coffee granules, pasta, whatever it is. On your way in, as you're heading towards the ground, just pick up some food from a local supermarket and just dump it in. If you can afford to do it, just dump it in, because you'll be doing a good thing, because there are families in genuine need of food. And what might be nothing to you, you know, in terms of a packet of pasta or a jar of coffee, it would mean a lot to a family in need. And there are lots of family need in need in North London, especially Tottenham. So if you can be bothered, or if you find it in your heart to pick up some food on the way to the game at Man City, of which you're paying probably 70 quid for a ticket, if you can spare just a fraction of that price for some food, then go to the food bank van opposite the Beavertown pub. You'll be doing a great thing. We've got to go straight into Pedro Porro. Was it of any surprise to you when you woke up this morning and it was pretty much the minute I opened my eyes, Pedro Porro's off? It's just so fucking Spurs.
It's so predictable. It's so boring that that's the club we are, but it is. Like, but when you've got fucking Fab Romano for about 17 days in a row going, here we go, it's a coming, and you're like, fucking...
That's racist. Fucking do I get accused of racism?
He's Italian, he's white.
All right, all right. Still a Mexican accent. It's fine.
It's fine. I do it. I'm boring myself. It's fine. Do it again in a minute. What's my point? Yeah, no, we're not surprised. We shouldn't be surprised.
Romano ever had a here we go come back on him?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Not often, though.
Oh, not often. He's pretty fucking, as ITKs go, he's pretty fucking shit-hot.
And the fact that so many people hate him is that shows how good he is.
But the hating thing is also just like football fans, though. It's a tough gig, though, isn't it? Because he's got to be out. His whole thing is he's got to be out there before everyone else. So he has to do that. So you take some risks with it, and he's gonna style it out. And if it was
a here we go, which pretty much guarantees that he signed for the club, what the fuck happened in your understanding, Mark?
Oh, it's tricky because we don't really know. But the what it sounds like is that we've had a broker working on this for us on our behalf, which sounds like it was CAA based, the Porro's agent. They're a massive, massive company. They are their son's agent, their Rishi's agents, Walker, Trippier, loads of other, like Madison, loads of other really big names. They're a massive agency, right? They're also a brokerage firm. So they also broker deals between clubs and players and agents and so on and so forth. So they do a lot of different things, which you get with, you know, property firms and things like that as well. So I think what's probably happened is we've given this deal to them and gone, because it's a deal in Portugal, and I think this is the case. I don't know because I haven't only just finished work, but I haven't fully done the research into it. But I think what the case is in Portugal is that you need to pay the league. You need to submit the release clause with the league of the relevant country. It's certainly like this in Spain. I think it's like this in Portugal. Then the player uses that money through the league to pay the club out, play his club out.
What?
To get released.
It's almost like,
really convoluted.
Yeah, it's almost like a transfer of a football player is complicated. Because if you'd listen to some people on Twitter, it's pretty simple. Just pay the fucking money, apparently. But in this instance, it is a little bit more complicated than you might think. In your understanding, Mark, is this a normal thing to do, to send or have intermediaries that will negotiate the deal so that Daniel Levy or Paratici doesn't have to be there in person?
Yeah, it's fairly normal. They do deals like this. But also, I mean, it happens for any massive money transfer. It's rarely just two people that just chat, or four people, or five people. You usually have an intermediary in between the two companies.
That's the idea, though, isn't it? It's Daniel Levy and the owner of Sporting. They're in a room
just
together.
Just WhatsApp. It's not like that. There's fucking millions of
moving
money
parts.
Or euros. Yeah, and also, like, if it is the case about the release clause deals in Portugal, how they're different to England, which I think it is, but that brings a whole nother level of complexities to it. Even with silly little things like language, culture, that we just don't... I mean, I know English is the language of this country, but it isn't the language of...
Fucking should be.
Most other countries around Europe.
Fucking should be, shouldn't it?
It means Brexit. But yeah, so, you know, like, I know that Poro's agents speak English, but the people you're dealing with at the league where he's where his agents on behalf of him are trying to submit some money so he can pay, like, they might be the best at English. So it makes sense to have someone in the market who sits and deals with this. And we know that this has been going on since the fucking start of the transfer window and before that, let's be honest. So you need someone who's in the market, who can sit around, who can be around for all these people and be available. And it's just not, Paratici just has too much going on. He can't release himself to go and do that.
All right, before we go on to whether or not the deal is going to take place, we had a question here from, Craig Emmanuel. He says, if the transfer window ended now with the additions of Danjuma on loan and Soonsup Bell, this is the kid from Chelsea, and the 2.5-year ban of our director of football, what would you give it out of 10? Not going to lie, I think I'd probably have taken it at the start of January.
Oh, that's funny.
What do you think happens with Paratici? Is he around? Is he working? Like, I'm not asking you, like, obviously none of us know, but from a fan's perspective, how do you think this plays out for him? This doesn't look good for Paratici. Poro isn't the issue, but he's been silent pretty much. We're supposed to have got, well, we will get a statement, according to Daniel Levy and the board, tomorrow evening or the day after about from Paratici. But it's just like, why wasn't he there to make the deal that we needed to make? Poro was really important to Tottenham, and surely his presence, rather than having intermediaries, is that the right word? Intermediaries? Yeah, intermediaries.
Yep.
Sometimes I doubt myself. To have those in place as opposed to our director of football when you're signing an important player like this. I remember fucking Daniel Levy going out to Croatia to make sure that we signed Modric in his fucking jeans. And he got it done. So I don't know what my question is there, really, other than the fact that...
Where is he?
What's happening?
He's toxic right now. That's my opinion. I have no idea. I have no ITK on that. From a fan's perspective, he's toxic right now because of what's gone in Italy with Juve and, you know, potentially getting a 2.5-year ban. I don't think he can work with anyone. I don't think anyone's going to work with him. I imagine he might be doing some things behind the scenes, maybe messaging agents and doing, you know, it's like in cop movies when they say you're on desk duty, like you're not allowed to go out and shoot innocent people. Like you're on desk duty now. You've got to stay in the office and you've got to stay there and just do paperwork for the next couple of weeks, like a rookie. You've got to turn in your badge and your gun. Like, I just think I think he's so toxic right now. And I think there's a chance he's going to get, you know, a ban extended to Europe. And the way it's kind of going, I look at it and I think, do you know what? I think you said a couple of weeks ago, Flav, like he's got to go, Paratici, like because of what's happened, because of the ban, he's got to go. But I think Levy's looking at it, he's thinking, well, it's the middle of the transfer window. If I sack him now, the reaction from the fans is going to be toxic. So I can see him waiting until the summer and then sacking him and then getting rid of him and potentially getting somebody else in then.
Well, we had another question from Robbie Hotspur. It says, with Paratici likely to tender his resignation next month, who would you like to see as a DOF? Like, do you know many DOFs?
No.
I don't know. Robbie, you're asking too much of us, I think. Yeah. DOF, name me five director of footballs in European football. If you can, then one of them.
I just want someone with a funny sounding name and that's relatively good looking. That's it.
It's such a shame though, isn't it? With that situation.
Let's get Andrea Agnelli in.
I don't even know what you fucking said. What tell me about him.
That sounds like that's a Juve person, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the guy who just he was the director there. And obviously, so, quit in the whole thing as Paratici at the same time as Paratici left.
Okay, so that was a joke. That was a joke. That was sort of, no, it wasn't a bad joke. It was one that I didn't have the intellect to understand. I think that was it. That's your problem. You think you're above us, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, he does.
You made me sick. So the reports today on the fact that we've got to say the fact that Sporting moved the goalposts. It's their fault that this broke down. Poro is reportedly refusing to train today, which is a good sign for the potential that this deal might happen. And we're recording on a Monday night, and if you listen to this on Wednesday and Thursday, we'll know the result of it. But yeah, it looks like he's gonna. It looks like he's refusing to train. He wants to come to Spurs. Everything had been agreed. There wouldn't have been medicals booked, wages agreed, all kinds of sort of image rights, all the complexities of a deal agreed, and it not be almost certain. Got Romano giving the old here we go. So like, it was done, and some bloke and apparently sporting a notoriously difficult to deal with has just said, actually, nah, we want more money. What? Mark, what are they playing at? What do you think they're doing? Because it feels odd. It, like they've looked to get Bellerin in from Barcelona, yep. So they're looking to replace him. They've already alienated their player, so that's not a good look for them.
Mm.
There is this idea that City have a buyback clause, which means they would get first refusal to talk to. Porro for an agreed fee. There's no real reason why he'd go back. So what do you make of this whole situation?
I think Sporting are just trying to get their money's worth. I think they've seen this kind of rumble on. I think they're just chancing it a little bit. It does look like you said, they've got a replacement ready in Hector Bellerin. So that, in a lot of ways, that should be a positive for us, because that should say, well, they're already signing this guy. I think maybe there's an element of Enzo Fernandez now being worth 100+ million pounds across the road in Benfica. That they're going, well, fuck, we've got this player here who's more proven. Let's be honest. Enzo Fernandez was sold for 10 million euros or whatever to Benfica. I think it was in the summer. He's 10 times more than his last transfer value. 6 months plus. Yep.
But that's Chelsea fucking everything up.
Which is insane. I think it's got an impact.
It is saying, and it probably has had an impact. And there is a segment of this podcast we often don't actually talk about other clubs, but we have to talk about what Chelsea are up to, and we will do in the latter part of this podcast, because it's mental and it's shifting the goalposts. Because for Chelsea to pay that kind of money for a player who has had a good World Cup, so did fucking Diouf. Do you remember him? The geezer that spat on the ground. Yeah, he had a great World Cup, and look what happened to him. We're going to come into the Chelsea, what are they playing at? Like, how much more do they want? We've met all of their. If you believe what's been reported, we've met every single requirement in terms of the financial implication to Tottenham. We've agreed to pay. We're paying already probably double his market value. And this is like, I had a conversation earlier with my brother. He's like, it's typical Levy, because if it's another 5 million, why won't you pay? This, we're already overpaying for him. Like, I think people think that because it's so hyped that Porro is like a world-class right wing back on a Hakimi level who will absolutely change Tottenham Hotspur. The reality is we're having to pay 40, 45 million pounds for a player that his market value is around 20, 25. So we're already playing double what he's worth, and you want him to keep just doing whatever Sporting... Isn't it like a showing of a lack of leadership if our chairman, and whoever that might be, or a chairman of any club, says, right, we're already paying over the odds for a player, and now you're trying to bend us over. Actually, it's undignified for us to go, yeah, okay, all right, cool, whatever you want, just get the player. You just get the player. There comes a line in this negotiation, and I'm sure... Sporting know that Daniel Levy is under pressure, where you just sort of say, well, fuck that. All right, well, we won't take him. And then now you're stuck with a player you don't want. Our fan base won't accept that, and they'll look at this as an absolute failing of Daniel Levy, when it probably isn't in reality. Although, Cal, Levy's apparently taken over negotiations, which is a bit odd, because it should be Paratici that is. Paratici is obviously... Otherwise, you know... He's on gardening leave. All right, if that is the case, and Daniel Levy's now coming into the fore to negotiate his transfer, would that suggest to you that the fact that it's not over, it's not done, and it'll end up as a Spurs player? or does Daniel Levy's involvement right now on a really one-to-one level mean it will never come?
Yeah, it's like the glass smash. Oh my God, that's Daniel Levy's music.
He's talking about wrestling again, mate.
Yeah, I am. Where's my picture I bought you?
All right, full disclosure. Cal, for some reason, bought me a picture. He didn't tell me he bought me a picture. There's a picture of Ultimate Warrior, and apparently I have to stick it on the back wall. If you're on Patreon, you can see this as a video podcast. It should be on the back wall somewhere, but it's this big. It's tiny.
Is it not that big?
No, it's tiny.
No, you was building stuff with your dad and sending us pictures of him building stuff with his dad. And I was like, that office really needs a picture of the Ultimate Warrior.
You know what?
There.
I will put it up. I will. I'll definitely put it up on the wall, Cal. I really will.
Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, no, it just gives me that image of like Daniel Levy's music hitting and him coming out. Dun, and I'm going to deal with this. And you know... And if he does it, if we get it done tomorrow, he looks like a hero, right? But if we don't, then he looks like a dickhead. So it's kind of a big move. But, you know, I understand where fans are coming from. You know, I saw today, you know, there was talk about the Jack Grealish deal, the Dybala deal, and, you know, historical deals from over the years, which, you know, it's looked like we were going to get done, and then we didn't. And what's been the constant throughout that time? It's not been Paratici. It's not been any of the coaches. It's been Daniel Levy. But we are also, and I'm really bad for this, we do it to ourselves as fans in a lot of way. Mark, how many like aggregate accounts are you following? How many journalists are you following right now? Remember when we were young, and I tweeted this the other day, remember when we were young and you would find out in the back of a paper that David Ginola signed?
Oh, what a dream. What a dream.
I remember going on CFAX. I was on holiday in Somerset with my mum and going on CFAX and saw that we'd signed Leonardson from Liverpool. I was like, oh my God, we signed a player. You just found out. But
I found out that we signed Robbie Keane from Leeds for £6 million on the back of the Evening Standard. I came out of work, I picked it up, and it says Spurs signed Keane for £6 million or whatever it was. And I was like, fucking get in. Now it's like, you know, every single minutiae of the moment of a transfer deal. And none of us have any clue about how these fucking things are sorted. You're right. It's not a shame to long after. I feel old. I feel like we're getting old, boys. I feel like we're not moving with the time.
It's true. But we sit there, right? And we sit there like stroking our flaccid peen, just edging ourselves, like going, oh, he's all right, isn't he? Oh, he looks pretty good. He's watching a YouTube video. Yeah. Oh, this journalist here won. Oh. And we just edge ourselves, and then it doesn't happen. We're just left with a floppy peen in our hand. Sorry, Mark.
I've been there many times, usually about 4 a.m. on a Saturday night.
Go on, Mark, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know what my point was before you started talking about your flaccid peen. But thank you for putting that.
You're welcome.
In my head, I'm really imagining it now, as you can see. I think just a quick that, boys, Flav, you're right. We're getting old. This is the Gen Z world now. This is how the kids are, man. Like everything is like half a second. It's fucking TikTok generation, half a second of attention span. It's just the world now, and it fucking blows. But we're getting old. We just got to get used to it. It's not going away.
Yeah.
Worse.
We do. Is there any, do you reckon there's any truth in the fact that City have a buyback clause on Porro? Obviously, he was sold to.
They do.
So what?
Yeah, 17 million.
17 million euros or pounds, whatever it is. So,
pounds, yeah, 20 million euros.
So if they bid that, are Sporting obligated to pay that in your understanding? Oh, sorry, obligated to accept?
I don't know the ins and outs. I'm sure the player needs to agree to also want to go. But sometimes it's a case of it's a done deal in terms of the club, but the player needs to accept the move. Other times it's an offer, so the selling club needs to offer it to the club that has the buyback clause at the price negotiated. Often it's in this case it's a lower price, and it's just something you put in as part of the original contract agreement, whereas usually the release clause is a lot higher. because obviously the club is going to want to get top dollar. So yeah, but I don't think, honestly, I think it's just fucking Spurs fans being fragile again. I can't see what I know Cancelo's on his way to Bayern Munich. I understand
that's
that.
Crazy.
He's a
right?
left back.
Is it crazy?
That's insane. That is insane, by the way. The best defender, I mean, arguably the best defender for the World Cup in the fucking Premier League. Pep can just go, I don't like you anymore. You can go to Bayern Munich. It's okay. And that's it. And he's out. He's fucking out. He's literally out in like a day or two.
So
they had a little bust up, apparently.
Yeah. And I like that. I like that from Pep Guardiola, who he goes, well, like, you might have been the best wing back. Or, you know, whatever it is, like fullback in
the best, like one of the best fucking players.
One of the best. He was insane last year. And like 21 games later or 20 games later, he's now on his way to Bayern Munich. Apparently he has an issue, attitude problem, whatever it might be. Pep Guardiola's gone, you know what? Fuck your mum. You're going. You're going to Bayern Munich. And that's that. Bit crazy. It really is crazy. The fact that, and he was playing out of position. He's playing on the left hand side for him a lot of time. Last year. So we've got a question here from Cody Nora. He says, why can't we just play Spence and save £45 million? 22 and 23 both played in the league below the Prem, and Spence has a height advantage. I really don't see the need for us signing if we just give Spence a chance.
Should have played against Preston, shouldn't he, really? He should have played. He should have played against Portsmouth, but I think he was ill. I think before the Portsmouth game, he should have played against Preston.
Right? Like, no, maybe you should have played against Preston, but that doesn't address the fact that you're comparing Jed Spence and Pedro.
Well, yeah, there's that. Like, none of us have seen Spence at a Premier League level for an extended amount of time. Like, we've seen him at, some of us would have seen him at like Championship level or whatever, but we don't know if he's a Premier League player. But I agree with the sentiment, he should have been given a chance.
The sentiment is in, don't buy Porro, give place.
No, I don't agree with that. I want Porro. I want new, shiny things, foreign names. I want vowels at the end of the name, not E's though. I want O's and I's. I don't want Spence. I want foreign. I want him to speak broken English. I don't want some bloke called Jed. That's boring. One guy called Pedro, and he speaks like Mexican.
It's not Jed, like GED. That's DJED.
Ooh, I put a D on it. Makes me seem exotic. No, I want a foreigner from Europe, but I want him to speak like a Mexican gangbanger, like the voice that Mark did.
Mark,
that's what I want.
Mark, if the choice is you could sign Porro or you just play Jed Spence, what do you do?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
That's what? Of course you sign, bro. There's no world where that. I get it. I don't want to be rude or mean, but like.
Say he's muck. Just say it.
It's just. No, I can't. I can't do that. Just you could do that, Callum. That's okay. I you know, I don't know. I have to try and be true to my inner
Nord,
who was bullied very much in school. You know, I don't want to bully other people.
The both of you are bullied.
But he is a mug. I mean, you can't compare the two. It's just not possible. Pedro Porro is a proven top level player. I like, but I also agree with you, Flav. Like, we are slightly over the barrel here. We are now overpaying for him. Let's be totally frank about that. We absolutely are. But now we're here.
You've got to make it.
You have to make it.
And this is the thing, is like, if you're like, I look, I'm leaning towards Enoch out, and I have been for the last 8 weeks or so, and I am leaning towards it, and I'm not a sympathiser for Daniel Levy any longer. Although I think that the points I made previously about Daniel Levy were fair. I think he has been a good chairman, but people will forget that we've overpaid for Porro if he signs. people forget that you paid £20 million more than he's worth. You'll look at Chelsea and go, well, look what they're doing. They're spending unreasonable amounts of money on players that are not good enough to demand that transfer. But you look at them and think, that's what I want. If we go to, and we sign Porro for 45, what now will be, because the release clause doesn't exist. It never existed. It wasn't made clear to Spurs what we thought was black and white. This is how much you have to pay to speak to the player. Isn't the case. You have to suddenly pay more. There is no ceiling to what we need to pay. We've already had these conversations with Porro and agreed a wages packet. But if we sign this player and we end up paying over the odds, that should be, even in this sort of weird market where Chelsea exists, that should be a coup for Daniel Levy, for the people that are staunchly eating it out. Because Daniel Levy is signing off on a player, if we sign him, whose market value is around 25, 30 million, he plays in the Portuguese league, he's very good, but he's unproven elsewhere. He was released effectively by City, £8 million they paid for him. So he wasn't good enough then. Like 18 months later, Spurs are now paying 40, 45 million plus for a player who is probably worth 20, 25 million pounds or euros, but 20 million euros. So if we sign him, that is overpaying for a player. It isn't a case of Daniel Levy going, well, just give him another 5 million. What does it matter? You're already paying double what he's worth and they want more on top. At what point do you go, they're fucking bumming us? There's a line. There is a line. And that's what I think some fans don't understand. Anyway, let's move on here to the FA Cup. Son back in the goals. We beat Preston 3-0, which was wonderful, given the fact that the FA Cup has opened up for Tottenham. There aren't a lot of good teams left in. Like I say, good teams. There's plenty of teams that will beat Spurs. But we do have a clear route to the final now. If we get a good draw this evening, as we record, we don't know who it is. So I think the draw might be happening
in 20 minutes.
Yeah. So maybe before the end of the podcast, we'll know who we got. If we can avoid any of the big boys, and by say big boys, it's Man United, it's Man City. That's it.
Brighton.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we should be able to beat Brighton, but it is Man City and it's Liverpool. So we, and if somewhere down the line, man, if we avoid one of those, it'd be typical Spurs if we get Man City or Liverpool. But if we get Liverpool,
Liverpool out. Man United, Man City, and you look at the rest of it: Southampton, Wrexham or Sheffield United, Ipswich or Burnley, Luton or Grimsby, Derby or West Ham United, Stoke or Stevenage, Blackburn or Birmingham City. A lot of fucking replays. Leicester, Sheffield Wednesday or Fleetwood Town, Bristol City. Liverpool are out. I don't know why Liverpool are there. And Fulham, Sunderland and Leeds. Like it's Man United and Man City, and really you should think Tottenham should start as favourites against pretty much any other team.
Yeah, indeed. So my point was if we get Man United at home, we could beat them. If we get Man City at home, we could beat them. If those two draw each other, like if they get each other in the semi-final, or if one of them get knocked out in a giant killing, then this feels like 91, where we had a really plum tie all the way through. We had plum draws all the way through. I don't know. We'll see. Well, it just feels like a good year for Spurs. Like with Conte there as well, he's a cup manager. If we get Porro over the line, and with Bentancur and Kulusevski there, we're better than the form that we've had this season.
I think as well, if you look at the teams out of the Prem that you've just reeled off there, Cal, look at all of them. They've all got more to play for in the league comparatively than we do, really. United obviously still have hopes of a title charge. City, same. They've all of a sudden found out under Pep that now they want to win the league again. Now, Brighton are in sixth. They want to get into those European places. We're in fifth, so we're still in there, and we could kind of break into the top four, but I don't think four is like everything, I get it, but Brighton with the form and all that sort of stuff, they're going to put a lot of eggs into that league basket, and I do think there is a little bit more of a chance for us there. Brighton played a good side against Liverpool yesterday, but Liverpool's side were stronger on paper. So, yeah, I think for that as well, for that reason as well, there's a good chance for us there.
What do you think, Cal?
Yeah, no, just reeling them off. I did not realise how many of the, you know, the better sides had gone out. There's a lot of Championship sides there and a lot of, you know, lower Premier League sides that are there. You know, yes, Man United and Man City are there, but Man United have got Europa League. They've got Europa League to think about. And obviously Manchester City, like us, you know, they have the Champions League. And how much of a priority is the Champions League going to be for Manchester City? It's going to be everything. It is for them every season because Pep's not won it there yet. So this, you know, out of the, you know, the better sides, or the top six sides, it is the, you look at it as like the, should be the biggest priority for us because it is our best chance of winning a trophy. And Conte is really going to want to win a trophy at Spurs, you know, particularly to try and keep Harry Kane as well. And Harry Kane, you know, he said in an interview the other day, you know, the FA Cup's a big competition for us this year. We really want to try and have a go at it and really try and win it. So, yeah, and it's, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have this little football encyclopedia and I'd learned about all the rules and what constitutes an own goal and what's just a deflection and what's offside and what's not. And in there, it had the FA Cup winners and what was the list of the most FA Cup winners. And when I was a kid, it was Spurs. We had 8 and then I think it was Liverpool and Aston Villa with 7. And here we are fucking 30 years later and I don't even know if we're in the top 5 now. You know, it used to be our competition and, you know, it'd be really nice if we could win it again.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. And you know, it just goes to show how sometimes you need the chips to fall where they may when it comes to these competitions. And you know, I think what we're forgetting is we're a really good side when you have all of our players fit. If Son is coming back into form, and we haven't talked about it, but he was superb against Preston, and he really relished in his role as the main guy. And you know, just stood up and you know, made an impact. If he can return to some sort of form in the second half of this season with Bentancur and Kulusevski in the team, even if we don't bring in a defender, which we're not going to do, I very much doubt we're going to do in the next 24 hours while we're recording, we're still good enough to pick up a trophy. Like lesser teams in Tottenham have won the FA Cup. Like we do have the. The Champions League coming as well. And just while I'm talking about this, I'll just let you know that the tickets are still available for the Fighting Cock Social. Temple Brewhouse, AC Milan versus Tottenham, 14th of February. Tickets are available. Just check our pinned tweet to get hold of them. They're £5. But imagine being all under one roof in a room, like a lovely sort of pub, and all Spurs together watching Tottenham smash AC Milan at San Siro. Their defence has been shocking, hasn't it, Mark? They've been all over.
Yeah,
the shop.
They're on a bad run. They're on a bad run of form. So it's a good time to play them. Bear in mind, there's still 2 weeks left, but they look under a lot of pressure. Still got some pretty scary firepower in there, but they look a shambles. So it's a good time to play them. And yeah, Temple Brewhouse is a brilliant venue. Last time we was there, it was awesome. Callum, you were there. It was a great time. Lots of hugs and cuddles. It was fucking brilliant.
And the atmosphere is superb as well. Like, if you want to watch, like,
it's just so good.
There's no better place other than the San Siro if you're a Spurs fan to watch Tottenham Hotspur play. So go to our pinned tweet and get a ticket. £5, and they are selling out. So gotta be quick. Brian Hill was, you know, unless there's some sort of moving of the goalposts on Spurs' side, he's signing for Seville on loan. And it seems like it's like a little bit of bad blood, which is odd, wasn't it, Cal? Because like he was playing minutes for Spurs. We signed Dan Juma and everything seemed to change. Do you think we mismanaged him? Did we do enough with him?
I think with Kulusevski out, he should have started every game. I think it should have been the natural cover for Kulusevski should have always been Brian Hill, and it wasn't. He did play some games.
Richarlison played some, didn't he?
Richarlison played some. You know, he should play some games, and then earlier in the season, like Lucas was playing,
or it might have been the back end of last season that Lucas was playing. Lucas should never, shouldn't ever be playing for Spurs. He's been that bad. And so, yeah, for me, like, he should have been playing a lot more than what he has with the injury issues that Kulusevski's had this season. So I understand his frustration. I love his effort. I love the effort he makes every game. Even if he comes on for 2 minutes, he puts absolutely everything into those 2 minutes to try and do well for the team, for himself and for the shirt. And I really like that about him. But he's not blown me away when he has played. And it feels like, I might be wrong, I've not seen him loads when he played for Sevilla before in the, you know, in the under-21s, but it feels like one of those players that we could hang on for ages and go, oh, well, he had that good game against Palace back in 2022. And actually he's muck, because that's what we do with players. We look at players like, oh, Harry Winks played really good against Real Madrid. Yeah, but he's muck. And we, or Tanganga against City in 2020, like, no, like,
well, my question to you would be no, it's fine. Was he good enough to persevere with him demanding first team football? He wanted to play every game. No. If Kulusevski's back, so that's the position we find ourselves in.
Yeah. I think it's a squad game now, and I think we should rotate more than what we do. But if Kulusevski's fit and available to play, then he should play. And he's not shown me anything where he should be taking his place or playing in the league or playing in the Champions League. But I really like him. I love, like I said, I love the effort. I love the energy. But if they're both fully fit, you play Kulusevski.
Yeah, in my opinion, like, Brian Hill, I don't know how good he is. I don't know what his ceiling is. He isn't good enough to play ahead of Kulusevski. He probably isn't good enough to play ahead of Richarlison. So I don't know what his problem is. And I don't know what's been promised to him. Maybe he was promised first team football. But what I saw of him when he played for Spurs, while there were glimpses of quality, wasn't Premier League ready. Nowhere near. Wasn't big enough to play for in Premier League football. Wasn't good enough to play in Premier League football. That's not to say in 8 years' time he won't be playing for Barcelona as a twice the man he is physically than he is now. But we've got to deal with the situation right now. And Brian Hill isn't good enough to play for Spurs in the Premier League consistently. And I don't know what his problem is with that. I appreciate there are so many sort of conversations and intricacies to his situation at Spurs that we'll never understand. But from what I've seen of him on the pitch, while I've been impressed by certain elements, and I feel like there is a massive future for him, he's not good enough to play in front of our first team, and he has to accept it. I think maybe the signing of Danjuma, Mark, might have tipped him over the edge.
Possibly, but he was already sort of making these sounds last season as well, these noises last season as well. So I think you're right. I think he's just that bit more eager than other sort of talented, but maybe slightly unproven sort of Premier League level players. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a similar behaviour from, and Bernard, I agree with everything you said about Hill. I love Hill. I'm definitely more of a fan of Hill than you are, but I agree with you that he shouldn't play and he shouldn't start in front of Kulusevski. That's madness. You're not going to see the same behaviour from Pape Sarr. You're not going to, and you haven't seen the same behaviour from Skip. I think they're all three in terms of their... I know Skip is slightly older now, but he's not massively older.
Looked good when he came on against Preston.
Hey, so sharp. Quickly get impressed thoughts with him. Yeah, no, I loved him. I tweeted after the game, I thought he was sharp. Everything he tried came off. Short passing, long, medium range.
Do you think we're all guilty of realising, or guilty of believing, that Skip isn't the player that we think he might be, one that Conte talks about in such high praise? To be fair, Conte also talks about Hill in such high praise, but maybe Skip. Yeah. And I'm not saying a second half performance against Preston tells you anything at all, but we know there's a player there, and we know there's a Premier League player there, and he just needs time to get back into the swing of things. Is there any future for Skip at Spurs?
I think there is. I just don't know if it's the future he wants. You know, I don't know if there's a starting 11 at Spurs for him. I think there's still some way to go. Especially if you've got players like Bentancur and shock horror Hojbjerg in front of him. I think there is a space for him in the squad on the bench, though. I think if he can put in a performance like this against, you know, this is an FA Cup. Was it fifth round? It's not, like, you know, we still need to go forwards from this. And you know, it was a great performance, and he'll do wonders for his confidence. Yeah, he's not yet at the heights of Bentancur or previous great midfield talents that we've had, but I think he can show, and he has shown in flashes before. He just needs a bit of time, and he needs moments, he needs minutes, which is what Hill obviously didn't think he was going to get, or not enough. So he's gone out. But you know, bear in mind, Hill's only gone out on loan. There's no obligation. There's no option even to buy. So he's going to come back, and then the club will have a decision to make about him again.
Cal, do you think that's the end of Brian Hill at Spurs?
No, I think it's quite telling that he's gone on loan to Spain twice. He's not gone on loan to England. He's not perhaps shown a desire to stay in the Premier League and become Premier League ready. I think that's quite telling that he's, you know, wanted to go back to Spain, to go back to where he's comfortable. Took his dog as well. I don't know if I want a player like, I don't know if I want a player at our club that's got a dog like that. Like, I want it to have a big...
What kind of dog?
I thought that when I saw... Yeah.
A silly little twink dog. Like, it's tiny. It's a tiny little dog. Like, you're a footballer. Have a big, dirty staff with a spiky collar. Like, have a proper mastiff dog, mate.
If it's his mum's dog, that's all right. But, like, his dog, isn't it? It's clearly his dog.
Oh, Mark, I'm so sick of you.
Has your mum got a... Has she got a Pomeranian?
My mum.
Your mum, yeah.
My mum once had a Bichon Frise, and it was so fucking insane that she had to sell it after like a few months because it was just driving her up the wall. She just split up from her ex-husband, and would be a great idea, but it was absolutely tapped.
Okay,
fucking insane little devil.
Fuck small dogs, not like physically. Like, I'm not a dog nonce.
No. It's a great insult. Dog.
Maybe you're lonely. Maybe.
We find ourselves in a world where Chelsea are behaving in a way that is, it's worse, almost worse, I might say worse. It's more mental than Man City and the previous Chelsea are under Abramovich ever did. Like, Todd Bowley is doing mental things, and it's like, I know there might be down the road issues for Chelsea in terms of financial fair play, but for a Chelsea fan to lose Abramovich after 20 years and get Todd Bowley, who is more mental in the transfer market than I've ever seen, is crazy. And I know it's not Tottenham, but we've got to discuss what's going on there. They've just put in... they've spent €500 million in... And I say euros because that's the way the transfer market is discussed in Europe. €500 million, nearly £450 million on players in the summer and in January, which is fucking crazy. They just bid £100 million on top of what they already spent on Enzo Fernandez, who won the Young Player of the Tournament at the World Cup, and he plays for Benfica in Portugal. It doesn't mean much to... In the grand scheme of things, doesn't mean much to perform really well in the World Cup. He may well go on to be a brilliant player. Benfica don't want to sell him, but Chelsea are intent on making him leave. How are they doing this, Mark? Do you understand? Have you got any understanding about how they might be doing what they're doing? Like, if you add Enzo Fernandez on top of what they already spent, it's €600 million in two windows.
It's insane. It's wild. I mean, the more pricey of their players that they're putting on very, very long deal, longer than we've seen historically in the Premier League before. 7-8 years, yeah, correct. And the same with them. So they were looking to put them on a contract till 2030, which means the yearly payments on the amortization of those amounts is lower, and that's how they're trying to get below the FFP.
So how does that work?
So if you're paying £100 million for a player, You've got put him on a 10-year contract. You pay that off over 10 years. That's £10 million a year. It's still £100 million over over 10 years. It's still not.
That's like a massive sponsorship in the Premier League. Like that, if you like for
to a degree.
A club like Crystal Palace, if they get £10 million a year for a shirt sponsor, that's big money. And Chelsea are paying that for what would be Martinez. Hernandez, rather.
Enzo Fernandez, yeah, correct. So and that's how they're doing it. So the FFP rules, really, really simply put, is you can have an amount which you can buy players for per year based on your revenue, based on how much money you make. That's part of why City are so dodgy. Without libelling myself, but there's a lot of dodgy things happening with City's various sponsorship deals and how they're then able to spend that much money. But anyway. Another way to get around it is to just put all your players, all your new acquisitions on very, very long amortization deals. So that means that your yearly contribution becomes less and then you can put more players in. I mean, the risk is obviously that these players don't come off, which is, I mean, that's the obvious first risk. And you then saddled with, in Enzo Fernandez's case, it's still £106 million
you've got to pay it.
Over we've 7 years.
So the player has to perform. Mudrick could get injured. He could get an ACL and they're fucked. Or they may have insurance ahead of it, but it won't be to the value of 100 or £70 million. If Hernandez is no good, and we've seen, do you remember Veron signed for Chelsea for £50 million? I think it's got to be 10 years ago now, maybe more. You don't know how players will adapt to the Premier League. And I'm sure Chelsea fans are over the moon, and Spurs fans would be as well. We'd be backflipping about what Chelsea are doing. I just wonder, Cal, do you think that the way Chelsea are spending and Toboli is spending, do you think that impacts the way Spurs fans look at Daniel Levy and Enoch?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Of course, yeah, because Chelsea are a rival. They're a club that's below us in the league at the minute. They're a club that's kind of comparable to us in terms of squad and in terms of club size. I'd argue we're a bigger club, and you would argue as well that Spurs have a bigger ceiling because of the limits Chelsea have on their stadium. Because Chelsea can't expand their stadium. With all the connections and all the stuff that Roman Abramovich had, he couldn't extend that stadium. So the ceiling you would think is higher for Spurs. But yeah, it's going to be frustrating for Spurs fans. I was talking earlier about edging yourself, looking at YouTube videos and aggregate accounts. They don't need to follow aggregate accounts, Chelsea fans, because every 5 minutes it's Romano. Here we go. It's another one. it's another 40 million. They've just done 26 million on a right back from Lyon when they've got Reece James, who's like one of the best right backs in Europe. And they've got Azpilicueta, who's a good, really good player as well. I know he's getting on a bit, but still, they've got really good players, and they're strengthening strengths, and they're buying really good players, and it's exciting to see new players at your club. You're right though, it could all backfire. They've got a coach in Graham Potter who's used to being at a club like Brighton where they don't play in Europe.
He'll be gone.
And he gets the whole week to coach those players all week. He's not in that situation now where he gets the whole week to coach these players.
He doesn't have the fucking charisma to deal with them.
Of course he doesn't. I took a dislike into him. I took a right dislike into him. As soon as I read that fucking article about, I don't want to go to Spurs because I don't want to work with Daniel Levy. Yeah, but you never would do better than Spurs, Potter, you fucking nerd. So, you fucking Dungeons and Dragons dweeb. No friends.
Yes.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Bogwash him. Prick. But yeah, I just went right. But it's... And also, the other thing, to get serious, he's got to bed all those players in. People talk about Nottingham Forest and them doing, fucking 25 players and all that, but who gives a shit? They're going to go down anyway, so it don't matter.
Yeah, none of these players being signed by Chelsea are Potter's going, he's going in the room going, Mudrick, I don't really think we need him. I've got a process. I've got a system where I'm concentrating on, like, possession football
and then
a build-up player. And Todd Bowley's like, Shut up, you fucking idiot. Do you realise that you're at Chelsea now, not a fucking that moron football club called Brighton, who actually, you know, are doing all right.
They're doing very well. But no,
Brighton
I could just imagine...
a lot better than Chelsea, by the way.
Oh, God, yeah.
I agree with you, Callum.
You see Todd Bowley? Yeah, like Todd Bowley. I'm just imagining him with like a cowboy hat just sitting in the boardroom.
Go, woo!
Yeah. Woo! Come on, yeah, boy! You know,
he, another brown, woo! 40,
he's got a 44 Magnum on the desk eating a corn dog. Go, come on! Let's get by some more players.
In the future, at some stage, they need to be... Something needs to be done. Like, surely UEFA or FIFA are looking at Chelsea and going... What are you up to? And there's something about the amortization of fees. I get it, but Chelsea aren't. They're not. I'm sure that the people that run football clubs generally are intelligent people. They knew that this loophole existed and didn't proceed. Or Bowley did look at the loophole and was mad enough to just go, "Fuck it, chuck loads of money at." Or he's from America and he doesn't really understand European sport law or football law.
The answer to that is a combination of all of it, whereby this is how they do American football deals. You probably know more about this than I do, Cal, because you
still
follow random non-sports on the side. But their player deals are much longer. And so he's just, you know, he has a lot of stakes in American football. So he's already bringing that over. He's also got a bit of a reputation. And I think he thinks of himself as a bit of a disruptor. You know, he changes things. And so he's trying to change things here, you know. Why has nobody done this before? Man, it's fucking crazy.
Nice.
That was not bad. That was not great.
I enjoyed it.
But he's just trying things, you know. And Flav, you're right. A lot of people who are very rich and very successful are very intelligent. A lot of them are also just absolute bullshitters who were given a few opportunities and they just fucking run with it.
But what do you think Todd Bowley's like doing or thinking about right now? Like what? Like does he think like, oh, I've sold this. I've got loads of money, and I've sold a loophole in the English football or European level football law. That means that you can't, like that most other teams can't sign players the way they wanted to, and they're just like, oh, well, I'll just do what I want because I've got loads of money.
Yeah, he's just doing what he wants. He's just absolutely going in there, not giving a fuck, and understands also that he is, I don't think he's stupid, by the way, I think he's very clever, but he understands that he's an American owner, and there's actually... American owners are now the majority of all foreign owners in English football. So it's not like he's the new kid on the block and, you know, no one knows what American owners are like. I think he's just come in and gone, why the fuck is no one else doing this? Is it legal? Yes. Is it something that's done? No. Well, why can't we do it? There's no reason we can't do it, so we're just going to do it. He's obviously got the backing of some very rich people, including himself. I think if this doesn't come off, like it's gonna spectacularly explode right in their faces.
It feels like it's gonna. It has to because they've bought loads of players.
They've signed 17 players. 17.
But they came on board. Like half of their transfer outlay. Like you look at Mudryk or you look at Hernandez, and you think that's like even if they're over, they're speculating. Those are good players to bring in. The other players, where they're speculating also on how good they're gonna be. In the next couple of years, they're not Premier League level footballers, or maybe they are, but they're not players. If you have £100 million to spend, don't spend it on prospects across Europe, and that's what they're doing. And it's just frustrating. I hope there is some sort of legislation or some rules that they're breaking. There must be because if this is the way that football is. That you have to spend £500 million on players just to compete, then what the fuck is this game anymore?
It has really distorted the market as well. I saw that that Everton made a bid £40 million for Conor Gallagher, who's just a fucking hard Brexit skip. Like he's proper basic, proper straight up and
he's
down.
He's a good player, Cal. He's a good player.
No, he's not. He's dog meat. He's absolute straight up and down. No special effects. Like nothing.
I think 20. Like if you're paying 20, 25 million for Conor Gallagher, that's about right. 40 million's a lot, but he's under.
That's what I'm saying.
No, Cal. But he's under a long contract at Chelsea. He's like, if you want to buy Conor Gallagher from Chelsea, you're going to pay £40 million.
He's just a passion merchant. But sorry, go on, Mark.
I think I agree. I don't know my point. I think I agree with you. I think Anthony Gordon's gone for the same money, and I think he's probably. Yeah. I'd rather pay that money for a player than Gallagher. Just on Chelsea, they had against Palace, they had 8 players out, either injured or so there is something. Wait, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, they had 8 players out, either injured or suspended. So they are also the only anomaly if you want to. I don't want to defend Chelsea, but they're also covering for some really massive gaps in their team. And Bowley's trying to transform things a little bit, but it's gonna fuck the January transfer window. It's already fucked, and it's gonna fuck up the summer one as well.
It's also fucked up the value of football clubs as well. When Todd Bowley bought Chelsea for $4.5 billion, and who knows what the fuck he's? I know he's rich, but he's got rich people behind him, probably. From the Middle East, it has to be money from the Middle East. What are the interests on people that are funding Todd Bowley's move? It's not Todd Bowley on his own, because Todd Bowley on his own is worth £5 billion. So they've paid £4.5 billion. If it was Todd Bowley on his own, he's paid £4.5 billion for Chelsea, and £500 million for the players that they've signed. That means he's got no money at all. So there's really rich people, probably Middle East money as well, I'd imagine. So it's a crazy thing. Like, and the problem is that you hold Tottenham up to in the transfer market to what Chelsea are doing, and that's crazy. We've got one more question from Louis Malini. He says, "Who is your favourite most underrated signing we've had in the past?" Decade or so. Mine is Llorente, as I think he played a huge part in us getting to the Champions League final and won a handful of games for us in the Premier League and FA Cup as well.
Good shout. That is actually a really good shout, because at a time when Harry Kane was injured, and that was during a time where the Poch ball was just starting to die its death. Poch is a cult of personality, and the personality started to wear off. But we just started yudging it up to Llorente, and then Son would pick up the scraps. It's actually a really good shout. I don't know if it counts, but I always loved Roman Pavlyuchenko. Like, he was a proper... I loved him so much. I think now people talk about him. I don't think people give him the respect he deserved. I really loved Pavlyuchenko. He was a proper bit of me. He was probably mine, I'd say.
How about you, Mark?
It's a tough one. Stelteri, something like that.
Stelteri,
hard worker.
Who did we buy Stelteri from? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Was garbage, though. He was terrible.
He was from the Bundesliga. He always tried. I like a tryer. You know, that's why I love Brian Hill.
Mm.
Well, I would say Chadli.
I loved a bit of Chadli.
I thought Chadli was underrated.
Good,
yeah. I mean, out of the seven,
he was pretty...
Well, out of the seven we bought since, after we sold Bale, there was Eriksen, Chadli, Kirikesh. Help me out, boys.
Lamella. Closing my eyes, trying to see it.
That's five.
Kapu wasn't one of them, was he?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Oh, go on.
Was he?
Don't know. Saying stuff.
I thought Chadli was underrated at Spurs. Holtby, yeah. Lewis Holtby was quality.
I had a lot of time for Lewis Holtby. Again, hard worker, came from Bundesliga. Just all energy, fucking passion merchants. That's what I like.
Yeah, indeed. Anyone else?
Blonde hair as well, Callum. So you should.
That's it, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, that's about it, really.
Van der Vaart. Underrated?
No, he's overrated, if anything.
No.
Oh, what?
No, he was great. He was great. Don't get me wrong. He was fantastic. But I think he was, I think, a bit of a passion merchant as well. Could you throw that up here?
Definitely. But he was. But he, his career was kind of on a bit of a decline when he came to us. So everyone, I thought he got a hard.
He was so good, though. Like Van der Vaart's time at Spurs was fucking unreal. Like he was like magic. He was magic, and he tapped into Tottenham. I don't know how he feels about his time at Tottenham. I've seen a couple of interviews that he's given about his time at Spurs, but he was magic. That geezer, rather. He was superb. He scored
sometimes. Oh God. He did. You're right. He did love scoring against Arsenal. And, you know, some people, I think if, you know, you remember that he scored the goal at the old White Hart Lane. He ran behind the goal, behind at the South Stand, and give it the old shushes to the Arsenal fans. And he did it as well at the Emirates when we won 3-2 as well. He scored the penalty and then give it the shush. And I think if that was today, I would look at it as performative. Like, you look at some players now and it's, you know, they're tapping the badge or, you know, they're doing little huddles and stuff like that. And I look at it now and I think you're doing that for the gram. You're doing it to be performative. I didn't get that from Van der Vaart. Yeah. You're doing it for a highlights video. I didn't get that from Van der Vaart. It felt legit. It felt real. And the passion, which he did the shush to Arsenal at the old White Hart Lane. Like, he meant that.
It's everything.
He meant it.
It was everything. And like, players will have like amazing moments. And Bale had amazing moments at Spurs. He scored incredible goals. And he'll be remembered as four times the player that Van der Vaart was. But Bale never really stuck it to the Gooners. He might have scored goals against them, but he didn't stick it to them like Van der Vaart did. Mm. That image of Van der Vaart bringing his index finger to his lips and shushing the Gooners as he scored a goal. And this is a time where Arsenal were much better than us. It was wonderful, wonderful. And while it doesn't answer the question, the answer is Van der Vaart. And fuck your mum. All right, boys, that would be the Fighting Cock podcast. Thank you very much. And I love you both.
Love you, champ.
Love you, man.
Bye.
Network. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.